How many of us like surprises? Well, that all depends on what kind of surprise, right? Let's just take today, for example. Already running with it. Over there on 290 this morning, the warning lights came on. I did not like that surprise at all. You know, got into Marble Falls. Finally, the truck shut down. Called Granny. She said, well, we're behind you. I liked that surprise, if you want to call it that or that type of deal. Got the truck up and running, or at least to get here. But prior to that, going into that grocery store and pleading with that lady to spare some mercy on me for just an hour or two. And that stranger, I got a battery for you. I liked that surprise. So we get over here and we do all this finagling. Brother Don takes me here, yonder, and everywhere and all that. Get going. No warning lights. And I don't even make it back to 281. Warning lights. I do not like that surprise. So in the end, it probably balances out about 50-50. If they're pleasant surprises, then of course we love them. A surprise birthday party, a surprise visit, moving up here to Austin. So many brethren have been so good to us and things that I never even expected in helping us out in so many different ways. That's all wonderful things. But now this evening I want to turn our attention to surprises in the Bible. Brother Holton in his prayer, he called me young. I'm not feeling that right now, but I like that surprise. And so it goes. Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. And so we're going to consider some judgment day surprises. The Bible reads, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Now look at verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. The Bible speaks to us often about the judgment day. And it is something that we need to be preparing ourselves for even this very hour, even this very moment. And these passages such as Matthew 7 force us, as if we're concerned with spiritual matters, to think about that great event. Perhaps to even think about our death and our life and the second coming of the Lord. In Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, some people believe that as soon as you die, the judgment occurs or happens. The way I understand the Bible, there is a significant, specific day that is coming that is identified and called the judgment day, and it is there in that day that all souls will be judged. I don't have all the answers. Are we going to be in an auditorium? Are we going to be in an open field? How is it going to be? Are we going to do it single file, one by? This is God. He created us from the dirt of the ground. He will see fit and how He wants it accomplished. And we're in a spiritual realm. There's all kinds of things we don't have answers to, but we are given what is necessary. You ever been or walk into a house and grandma or mom or wife, or I guess anyone, I better be careful, I'll get in trouble there just limiting it to it. But they're cooking a cake and you can smell it. You can't see that cake, but you know there's something good in there, don't you? Why? The evidence is there. And so we have this evidence of judgment day is coming. It is a sobering thought. And brethren, we must give an account of our life, of our stewardship. We will answer to God. Now this morning, what did we specifically cover? Evangelism and gratitude or thanksgiving. The text in Matthew 7 indicates that there's going to be a day of many surprises because people are going to find that their ideas and their expectations have been upset by God Almighty. So who will be surprised at judgment? Number one, those who rejected the Bible will be surprised. What do I mean by that? Psalm 19:1 is where we're headed here. But the atheist will be surprised to meet God. He need not be. And the reason he need not be surprised, for example, Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show His handiwork. Remember what I said about that cake baking in the oven? God has given us the evidence to say that He is the I Am. And so when He says there will be a judgment day, are we preparing? Romans 1 and verse 20 is the passage that teaches what I've just said. The invisible things of Him since the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now wait a minute. How can you see something that's invisible? You know, you see maybe in a program the lasers and they used to sprinkle baby powder on it, you know, that type of thing. That's not what we're talking about here. Because you keep reading, being perceived through the things that are made. So again, by that which we do have, even His everlasting power and divinity, that they will be without excuse. Brethren, did you hear that? The things that we can clearly see, demonstrate, or show to us His everlasting power. I don't know that we can fully understand the power of God this side of eternity. But we have more than enough to know that He is capable of delivering on that which He has promised. The unbeliever in Christ will be surprised at who the judge will be. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31, because He has appointed a day in which He is going to judge the world. How? By that man whom He hath ordained. Mark it down. It is coming. The Bible speaks of it. The good moral man out of Christ will be surprised to learn that he is a lost sinner. Remember that squirrel I spoke of this morning? I found another one. And what I mean by that, you know where I'm going, right? I'm going to chase it for just a second. Brethren, I'm not saying stop using the word good, but we need to be extremely careful because there is only one that is good, and that is God Almighty. Your next door neighbor who doesn't cuss or who doesn't drink, who goes maybe attends a denomination, who would guard your house and your property and your family with his life, is still a lost sinner. And he's going to face judgment as a lost sinner. Good moral man we are thankful for, no doubt. But during our evangelism class this morning, without excuse, let us do all that we can to reach them. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the Bible there says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All. Can you be any more aller than all? What does that leave out if he says all? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on us the iniquity of us all. Romans 3:23, I know y'all heard that several times since I've been here. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, some claim holders on Christianity are going to be surprised. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 beginning in verse 6. There are going to be some preachers that are going to be surprised. You know, preachers have to guard against pride all the time. We don't know more than other folks. Matter of fact, a lot of people know more than the preachers. We get focused on a specific study, that type of thing. We can sometimes lose focus on the rest of the Bible. But people or preachers are going to be surprised that God actually meant what He said in the Bible. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Did I tell y'all chapter 6? If I did, I apologize. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel, or from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have heard, let him be accursed. Romans 16 verse 17, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and turn away from them. Another group under this point is some who confess Christ as the Son of God are going to be surprised that faith only did not save them. John 8:31, Jesus therefore said that the Jews who believed on Him, did you catch that group and how they're qualified? the Jews that believed on Him, if you abide in My Word, then are you truly My disciples. Brethren, these are people already believing. And Jesus is saying you need to be abiding in My Word. And then and only then can you truly be a disciple. And so there's a lot that is said about that. John 14:15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. We covered obedience a lot this morning in our studies. The religiously sincere will be surprised to learn that a person could be zealous and also be wrong. Brethren, this is where we've got to be careful as the Lord's church. We've got to maintain the sovereignty, the purity of the Lord's church. Our God is a sovereign God, and while people may try to violate that, they cannot change God. What we've got to be careful is we do not wash down the Word. Oh, we're tactful. We redeem the time. We use wisdom. I understand all that. But a lot of times we're tippy-toeing through the tulips. And what people just need is a simple gospel message. The dynamite, the power of God's Word. And we've got to get back to that if souls are going to be saved. It is a Word that convicts the heart of the sinner. Not some emotional fairy tale, not some hoopla, whatever, but the Word of God. You probably can detect, I sense that a little bit. I'm seeing it too often. Even in the Lord's church. Does it frustrate you that a man can stand in a pulpit and preach a message and skirt all around the verse and never preach the verse? Mm-hmm. You know, the last time I was here was when Brother Hope was doing a meeting. Outstanding, right? Y'all have Brother Clay here. Man, if I can just get half of what those guys got down, it'll be successful to me. They preach the Word. They get in the Bible and that's what they give us. And that's what that is exactly what we need. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 10. I should have given that to you a while ago. I apologize. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 10. So I use Saul of Tarsus as an example. Do you realize that before he became a Christian and what he was doing, what was he doing? Persecuting Christians, a most heinous crime, but he thought he was serving God. Who would question his sincerity? Who would question his zealousness in serving God? But he was dead wrong. And it would cost him his soul. Brethren, we cannot give the denominational world a false security blanket in being good people, wonderful people, because they're lost. And they're leading others astray. So the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and following, with all deceit of unrighteousness from them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The religious world does not love the truth. And they would be offended by that. And I'm not trying to upset them, but Jesus says you follow the Bible. And they're not doing it. Keep reading. And for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure. What does that say? In unrighteousness. We're not talking about axe murderers here. We're not speaking of drug dealers here. We're not addressing those that do some of the worst things to their fellow man here. We're speaking of those who do not love the truth that they might be saved. In Matthew 7, where we began this evening, in 21 through, not everyone that says unto Me, Lord, Lord, and they make a plea, God, have we not done these things for You? And they itemize it for us, don't they? And what does the kind, gentle, loving Savior tell to these good, sincere, zealous people? Depart from Me, ye workers of iniquity. Not doing it by the will of God. This is serious business here. Next, the religious innovator will be surprised to learn that one can do something using the Lord's name and it not be in His name. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. John 4:24, God is Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Too many people are changing the worship. Oh, I don't mean two songs versus five songs. They're coming up with worship that tickles their ears and makes them feel good. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling good about having worshiped God, but it needs to be in spirit and in truth. Of God's standards. and not man's. 2 John in verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. You know, people try to separate Jesus, the man and master, from His message. 2 John 9 says you can't do that. That they go together. The unimmersed will be surprised at the importance of water baptism. You know, sometimes us Church of Christers are always saying, why are y'all always fussing about baptism? Squeaky wheel gets the grease. You realize most people are going to agree with us, aka the Bible, about hearing, about believing, about repenting, about confessing. But then they want to make a big deal about baptism. What else can we say? Repent and be baptized. To every one of you. Why? For the remission of sins. And who? Jesus Christ. Now I know I swapped those two. I did it on purpose, sir. Then we have Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with Him in baptism. By the way, this is a good passage to use. Well, let me get... Wherein also you were raised through the faith and the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Do you realize Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Brethren, we cannot seek those things which are above until we have been buried with Him, Colossians 2:12, in baptism. Never make an apology for the truth of God's Word. Sometimes we do that as Christians. And we might be surprised come the day of judgment. Now, I didn't say be harsh. I didn't say be ugly. I didn't say be rude. People have got to know you care about them. But never, never apologize for the truth. Never wash down the truth, lest you be surprised come the day of judgment. Let's move on to the next one. Some in the Church of Christ are going to be surprised. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Some in the Lord's church are going to be surprised that it was possible to so sin that they are finally lost. 2 Peter 2, beginning in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions or the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state has become worse than the first. Did everyone catch that? The last state has become worse. What does he go on to say? For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And just in case we don't get it, what's he talking about here? He gives us a couple of illustrations, doesn't he? It has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog returning to its own vomit again. Disgusting. You ever seen a dog hack and cough and some goulash comes out and they sit there and they eat it right back again? And if you happen to catch that smell on a warm summer day, it'll gag you. Oh, I see the faces. Yeah, I'm point of emphasis here. That's what he's saying. The Christian who gets entangled in the affairs of the world again. But he's not done. In case we don't understand the dog vomit, what does he say? And the sow that has washed to the wallowing in the mire. You know, my boys down there in Corpus did 4-H a lot. We did chickens. There's nothing clean, pretty, anything about a chicken. But there's a lot of kids that did pigs. And man, they'd wash those pigs. I've seen some of them paint their hooves with fingernail polish. I mean, you the bows in the ears and head, just all sorts of crazy stuff. And they'd walk and show that pig off at the arena. As soon as they got that pig back to the pen, guess what? All that prettiness went away instantly. The wet hole, the wet mud that they could find, they'd go back to wallowing in it again. Hours preparing an animal to look beautiful, and in a matter of seconds, it's just as dirty as it was before. There are some in the Lord's church that are going to be surprised, getting caught up again in the pollutions of the world. That we will reap what we have sown. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If we were to take an inventory of what was accomplished last week, you go home this evening and you write down on a piece of paper everything you did for God. What would that list look like? Would you need a second page? Or would you have a hard time filling half a page? Trying to make it practical. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6 and verse 8 says, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit life everlasting. This evening, isn't that what you want? Life everlasting. That's what I want. That's why I'm here this evening. Of course that's what we want, Matt. And so we must evaluate ourselves. I don't want any surprises for you. I don't want any surprises for me come the day of judgment. Oh, now if you want to surprise me with food and money and help, have at it. I ain't going to stop you. But I don't want any surprises come judgment day. Hypocrisy and cold formalism is as deadly as innovation. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. The Bible there says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold, hot, or cold, what does he say? I'm sorry, I didn't intend to keep going to vomiting this evening. But that's what it's like for people that are not preparing. Jesus says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I can't even identify that you what you are. I wish you were one way or the other. Brethren, where we have to be careful as members of the Lord's church in formalism is that we don't get so locked in that we're ready to cut people's heads off at the slightest mistake that they make. Now, I'm not licensing that mistake, but I know of brethren. I know of congregations that as soon as somebody does one thing wrong, it's over with, and when they come back crying and crawling, then they might forgive them. They never approach them about their sin to help them get out of it. And yet when people are struggling, who is it that they need the most? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Galatians 6 and verse 1. Ye which are spiritual, we have a burden of responsibility. Do not let the judgment day be a surprise. Finally this evening, some with upright lives and good intentions will be surprised that there will be, number one, no second chance. Wouldn't that be a comforting thought? That's what some people think, that folks are going to have a second chance. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Not after you die and you'll get it right the next time, because then you can maybe have a better understanding of how serious hell is. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's a sermon in of itself, isn't it? We don't even know if we're going to be here this evening. We don't even know if we're going to finish this worship service out. Do not be surprised. Titus 2, 11 and 12, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to who? A couple of people? Those whom God favors? My Bible says to all. There's that word again. Have any been left out? Not if they use that word all. To all men. Instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Some are going to be surprised that it'll be too late to think about eternity in eternity. Now what do I mean by that? Where does our soul go when we die? If there is a judgment day that is coming, where is our soul until that judgment day comes? Because that's physical death, right? A separation of soul and body. Where is it hanging out at, if you'll allow me to use that word? The Hadean world. It's where our Lord went when they put His body in the tomb. You have the place of Tartarus or torment. You have Abraham's bosom. Oh, okay. Now I know what you're talking about, preacher. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a great gulf between the two. Was that rich man surprised?
Yes.
Drop of water, please. And go raise Lazarus so my brothers will believe. There is the story. There is the epitome of this whole lesson of someone who got surprised. Or maybe he didn't. And he said, you know what? I don't want any surprises for my brothers. Brethren, let's not wait till we get to the Hadean world, because it's not going to change there. It will be once and for all settled. There are three points to keep in mind about the judgment. Number one, Jesus is the judge. Number two, the Word of God will be the standard. John 12 and verse 48, do you know what that says? It says there, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I spoke, the same shall judge him in the last day. The Bible tells us, do not fear the one that can kill the body. Rather what? Fear the one that can destroy both the body and soul in hell. And number three, we are going to be judged according to what we have done. Do not allow judgment day to be a surprise. Are you ready for that day? If we can help you, please come while we stand and while we sing.